casework is how you pay for your re-election.
Yeah.
You know, it earns you the right to then go and do policy stuff.
Hello and welcome to the Lib Dem podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is John Potter and we're doing an episode today all about getting the balance right between the work you do in town hall compared to that what you do in your ward. And this more or less is just for councillors, but actually if you're thinking about becoming a councillor, these are really important tactics of how you get this right, because it can lead, if you don't get it right, it can be very stressful. Before I introduce the rest of our panel, I just want to ask a quick request you to hit that like button. Do leave us a comment. The algorithm gods on Facebook and YouTube are always against us. So if you could do that, we will really appreciate it. Our panel are two excellent people to talk about this. And when we discussed in our meeting about who should we talk about, these two jumped at it. We have Hannah Kitchen from Barnsley. Hello, Hannah.
Hi there, John.
And we have Sam, the awesomeness from Oldham. How are you doing, Sam?
Hi, John. Very good.
Right. Well, I suppose the first thing to do, Hannah, is establish what we mean by town hall work. So do you want to have, you're the leader of the Barnsley Lib Dems, you're obviously getting all sorts of meetings. So what do you mean when you think of work you do in the town hall?
Yeah, so town hall work is basically committees. So the formal meetings of the council, so things like full council, so Barnsley is a unitary Met. We don't have county district tiers, so that might just inform some of the things that I say. So full council meetings, regulatory board meetings, so planning, licensing, scrutiny, audit committee, and then the various other committees that the ruling group will attempt to drag you into. There's also the potential for lots of other town hall based meetings. One thing I will say about COVID, when I didn't have to go to the town hall for best part of 18 months, is that some of these now non-official meetings are happening more online. Yeah, Teams. So I have a regular meeting with the leader and the other opposition group leaders and the CEO. I'm a member of the COVID outbreak control board, you know, and just meetings with highways officers, meetings with planning officers, meetings with governance officers, members development briefing meetings. So I don't know if other people have those, the training development team, yeah, put these on, and it's just a way of kind of telling us all a load of information, really. You know, that diary could fill up very fast with meetings.
And we should just explain, the law at the moment is that if it's a meeting that requires a vote, it has to be done in person. However, if it was an information-only meeting or something like that, then they can happen virtually still. I mean, hopefully the law will change. That will allow some sort of hybrid going forward, but that's the law as it is right now. Sam, right, so that what Hannah said is the official thing, going to meetings, whether that's planning, audit, whatever. What do you class as ward work?
Essentially, it's everything you take care of for the residents in your ward. You get a complete mix of things coming through from individuals, from sort of social media, and just general problems that you run into. And how that all comes through depends on how you interact with your community, I think. I get an awful lot of mine through social media. And to give you a few examples of the sort of thing that's come up in the last 2 days. There's a bus lane closed in our ward, the bus lane is suspended. They've been issuing fines for it. Probably a couple of thousand people have been issued fines. And it's just saying to everybody, this has happened. If you've got fined, let us know, we'll sort it out. And it's all those sorting out problems. And it ranges from, I've had people get in touch with me about not being able to see their children because of the way that social services was dealing with sort of divorce. So it goes from real extremes to really simple things like, where's my bin gone? And it's just dealing with the huge range of problems that people have that largely are to do with the council, but also you'll get other things which are nothing to do with the council. Yeah. And that's an important thing to realise is, you know, it's not always all your problem.
Yeah, and there'll be other things that come across, whether, I mean, we have various brooks and canals in my patch as well. That is also done by the Rivers and Canal Trust. And then you've got things that are owned by, you know, the Environmental Agency and other things. So you're right, it isn't always council stuff. But if you talk about all the things you've just mentioned, that's a lot of time. And we're not talking about resident meetings and also things like I count ward workers being campaigning as well, because I think good campaign, good ward work is good campaigning. And it's kind of, and everything you should do is good ward work. So if you, Sam says, deals with an issue such as that bus lane, you would fix that issue or try and fix that issue. And then you'd let the street know. That's really good campaigning. And that's how it's going. Do you agree with that, Hannah?
Yeah, so I consider campaigning to be ward work. I consider things like, you know, door knocking, canvassing, delivering my quarterly focus leaflet, because yes, it is about the Lib Dems and yes, it is about getting re-elected, but also actually keeping in touch with your residents and talking to your residents is actually what every single councillor should do. You know, even if we never had elections and you were just elected for life, you should still be keeping in touch with your residents. So I consider that to be ward work. There's also what I consider to be, I guess, the nice stuff. So going to community lunches, doing community litter picks, volunteering with, you know, various groups you've got around, going to afternoon tea, you know, just engaging with your community groups like that. This weekend, one of my villages has got its annual fun day. So I'll be going to that with the kids. Next weekend, it's the Penistone Show, which is a big agricultural show. And, you know, we've been to that as a family for 15 years anyway. But I still consider that part of my role as a councillor, you know, to turn up for things like that and to be available. And yeah, and spending too much time in committee meetings stops you from being able to go on litter picks.
Hello, John from the Lib Dem podcast here. We are delighted to say that this episode is sponsored by Prater Rains. Now more than ever, you need a professional-looking online presence and website. Prater Rains have been helping Liberal Democrat campaigns succeed for 18 years. Their Lib Dem Foci package combines a website, social media and email system to help Lib Dems win. You'll receive great support from real people, fair pricing and a huge range of features to choose from. Prater Rains are already the bespoke developers for Lighthouse, Lib Dem Draw Online and the LD Directory. They combine a talented system design with an unrivalled understanding of our party, our data and our systems. To find out more, check out the Prater Rains website at praterains.co.uk/liberal-democrats. And I suppose, and the question I have, I mean, I'm quite a ward level focused politician. I tend to like it. I even have myself a little kind of campaigning stroke ward work offset. So if I go in with a meeting with an officer or do something with an officer, I do an extra canvas session or whatever to make up for it. Because unfortunately, there are people from all parties who, once they get elected, forget about the people that get them elected. And it happens all the time. Because it is sometimes quite nice to go into town hall where all the civil servants and the staff are all there and they're being very nice to you. Yes, absolutely, Councillor Potter. Thank you, Councillor. And it can feel quite nice. That's not the point. The point is you are there to get stuff done for your residents. And I think sometimes that balance is difficult. So Sam, do you have any sort of, I'm not asking for an actual hard and fast ratio here, but do you think, right, my week is starting to fill up with meetings, I have to leave space to go out and do ward stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I plan it in advance. I have fixed hours in my week, which are for ward work, full stop. So Thursday afternoons is always going out and either delivering leaflets or canvassing. Mondays is when I deal with kind of like chasing up all the cases. You know, I use a casework system. On a Monday morning, it comes up and it says, here are 15 cases that need chasing up. And I work through it all, and anything new that's come in, make sure it's been dealt with. And so I will fix all that in my diary in advance. And I think it's quite an important thing. You can get overwhelmed really easily. I think it's really important setting time for doing those things. If I didn't, I could do 30 hours a day every day doing ward work if I wasn't careful.
Yeah, and because I mean, one of the things we're doing about this episode is obviously stopping people getting swamped. And I mentioned this before. You know, there's twice I've been to the point where I felt horrendously guilty for not, for my own perceptions, I wasn't doing enough. I think it was when I mean, this was during coalition. It was, I just got re-elected and I just thought, am I making a difference? What the hell am I doing? And actually the last time I had this was only maybe about a month or so ago, where there's so much going on and there's so many policies and everything, issues that are coming out. And I suppose the thing I'm trying to get across to listeners and watchers here is that you don't have to be the champion for everything. That is, you know, we haven't got 24 hours a day, like Sam says. We're not, very few councillors are full-time councillors. We are working it. You both have young families that you've got to get that balance right. So if there's like a huge issue that comes up and you haven't got time to go and spend 8 to 10 hours researching that issue, that's okay. You know, you are not the only champion of your entire city. Or, well, Hannah might be, actually. I don't know.
No, I'm not anymore, because, you know, because I have a group. And I think I'm not, you know, I'm not the best person to advise on kind of like time management. I'm nowhere near as organised as Sam, and frequently get disorganised and overwhelmed. But what I am really not a fan of the town hall stuff, the committee meetings. And it's, I think what is important to note is that particularly for councillors in opposition, and I think we're all in the situation where we're not just in opposition, you know, we're in quite a small opposition group. And the ruling party will try really hard to keep us really, really busy in the town hall, in the meetings, because they know that if they can drag us out of our wards, out of our communities, keep us busy in the town hall, that is not the stuff that gets us re-elected. Yeah, we were elected for our residents. No one cares what input you gave into audit committee in June 2019. No one cares. No one cares whether you read the papers or you didn't read the papers, or whether you turned up or whether you didn't turn up. You know, your voters don't care. And, you know, it might be that you get personal fulfillment out of doing really well in audit committee, and that, you know, that kind of fills your cup and makes you feel like a better councillor. But they will go out of their way to suck you into as many meetings as possible, and to, as opposition councillors, waste your time dealing with stuff that, you know, fundamentally we don't have a huge amount of input to. What I like town hall work for is either identifying ward work or taking ward work forwards. Yeah, so, you know, every now and then I suck it up and I sit on licensing panel for 3 hours and it does neither of those things. It's a statutory obligation. It's one of the things you sign up for. I do my shift on that. But if you can either identify something, and I've got a group member who's superb at this, he does like the committees. He is a good town hall councillor. And he's brilliant. He's an asset to the group because he will read every word of every paper for every committee, and he will sit, and I had a meeting with him this week to go through the things that he has pulled out of all of those papers that he thinks we should consider campaigning on as a group. He's absolutely invaluable. But what we tried to do was get him a ward colleague elected who would spend more time in the ward to balance him out.
And that, and you've just perfectly linked in. It's about working as teams as well. You know, I we've mentioned audit. I think I've sat on every single committee at some point in Preston. I've sat on audit once and I'll never do it again. It wasn't where my strength is, it's not there for me. But actually, some of the other stuff, like I've really enjoyed doing, say, for education work at county or something like that, because I could really sink my teeth into it. It's an issue I could get into. So it's a part, and whether you've got, and this is where it comes up. So you want to talk about big policy initiatives or something like that, or whatever you want to do locally that you've got coming up. And we are going to have an episode with Sam about local plans and parishes and stuff like that. But if you've got a huge policy, or you're building a manifesto for an election or something like that might not be your thing. And so don't waste your time. If that's not your thing and you're far better talking to someone at the door, then you do that and see if someone else can do that side of it. Because play to your strengths is kind of what I'm saying, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, so in my ward, both myself and my ward colleague, Mark, are, I think, instinctively policy politicians. You know, we both got into it because we want to change the world, and we want to, you know, both of us would quite like to be MPs. You know, we really have that kind of mindset. But so I got elected first, didn't really know what I was getting into, got swamped with casework and kind of had to figure out how to manage it. And so when he was coming up, the way I phrased it to him was, you know, casework is how you pay for your re-election.
Yeah.
You know, it earns you the right to then go and do policy stuff. Because as Hannah said, people don't really care about the policy stuff. They might on a specific issue. You know, I've done a huge amount of work on harassment and domestic abuse, that sort of thing, because that, you know, there is an issue in our area and it really needs dealing with. So there are times when that kind of, you know, town hall work can become an issue that you work with in your community. But yeah, I really think that thing of just, if people's just, if you fix something for someone, they'll go and tell five people that, oh yeah, they're a good person. They did something for me. If you write something about a local plan, nobody's ever going to go, oh yeah, that makes, they're a great councillor. So it is, that is the currency as a specific, especially as a Liberal Democrat, that is the currency with which you earn your right to be elected.
Yeah. It's true. The thing we probably put the most effort into every year is our budget amendments. That's a massive piece of town hall policy work. We don't do a full alternative budget because, you know, as a small group, there's just no justification for that. But we always put in a list of budget amendments, and you know, we put a huge amount of work into those. And I have to, you know, I won't not do that, because I think as an opposition group, you can't, I'm not willing to support the administration's budget because it's not my budget and it's not the priorities that I would lay out for the borough. But I can't justify voting against that if I'm not prepared to put the work in to put in my own alternatives. So we do, you know, we put in an amendment this year about how we'd like to implement 20 mile an hour limits around all schools in the borough. And, you know, it kind of felt at the time like we didn't get a huge amount of traction on it. We ran a petition campaign around it, and we got quite roundly shouted down, as you would imagine. But actually, over on the other side of the borough, they've just introduced 20 mile an hour limits outside three or four primary schools over in the Dearne Valley, having told us, of course, that was something they wouldn't ever even countenance. So, and that's the way it works over here. It sort of felt at the time like it was a lot of work that we didn't actually get a lot of change for, but actually that's made a difference. It's not come across to my ward yet, but it's made a difference. It's made a difference to some school kids in Barnsley Borough who are now safer going to school because of that budget amendment that we put in and shone a light on the fact that that's not something they're doing, and made some community groups think about that, and we can build on that. But then that turns back into ward work, doesn't it?
And that, again, Hannah, I don't know if we didn't plan this one, but again, that's perfectly, it's the link between. So if you're doing so we, in Preston, we found out that the Labour group wasn't doing anything on climate change at all. It had, its recycling rates were going in the wrong direction. We're down to only 29% recycling rate for the city, so very poor. So this was stuff that was coming out in casework and on the door that we then thought, right, okay, we need to put something together. Usually it's part of a budget thing as well, Hannah, that is, because that is the set piece for the whole year, really. It's what builds your year, and it also happens to be just before an election as well. So it kind of focuses mind for where your campaign is going to go. That we decided, okay, we came up with a list of things, okay, this is what we want for the city, and we call it the Green Guild City. And that, and we came, and we've worked off that for the last 2 years. Is basically, we said this years ago that we want X, Y, and Z, and it's been really useful as a campaigning tool, but also knowing where we want to go if we were to get any sort of power in Preston. And actually, and again, I want to talk, because there'll be some people, we're not like, some groups are massive and they know they're going to be in charge next time. If you think of, say, Lisa and Tom down in Stockport, you know, they're within one or two councillors are taking control of that. So we're not on this call, and most councillors were part of smaller groups. But actually, influence is very important. So the work we've done, the shouting and bang we've done about green issues in the city has forced the Labour group to have to deal with it because we were getting so much traction with it. And so even as a small group, it's you can marry those two things up together and make a difference. And I'm sure, go on, Hannah.
Well, and I think that's just important to say, John, because you know, let's be clear, if you run your authority, you are going to have to put the hours in the town hall. Yeah. And because you have an authority to run.
And you get paid yeah, to do that, yeah.
Exactly. Some might say not enough, but yes, you do, absolutely. And, you know, obviously we have Lib Dem leaders of both district and unitary councils who, you know, who spend a good amount of time in the town hall running their authority. But I think even in that case, I mean, just thinking of you know, Mayor Dave down in Bedford, he's out, or his team are out knocking on doors every single night because he knows that because he runs Bedford, the amount of time he has to spend in the town hall, he almost then has to do more time out in his wards and for Dave, because he gets as an elected mayor, every single person in the borough gets a vote for him. He has to spend more time out in the community selling what he does, really, and making a case for it. And I think, you know, even if you run an administration, you're always going to have, you know, a core group of cabinet decision makers and then your backbenchers. And you need to make sure that your cabinet need to be in the town hall more. Get your backbenchers out and get them knocking on doors, get them visible in the community. And, you know, make sure you balance that out. I'm just a bit mindful that I kind of have the luxury of being able to say, yeah, I'm just going to skip scrutiny because it doesn't make any difference for anything.
It's important, I think, and just before I bring in, it's important to, you're able to say no at some point. So we have Crime and Disorder Committee at Preston City Council. Obviously, crime and disorder, really important issues. Preston City Council has no jurisdiction on it whatsoever. By law, they have to have one meeting a year about to deal with the issue of crime and disorder, but it could just be a briefing from officers. But instead, they have these meetings that have vast amount of workshops go on issues we have no control over whatsoever. And I said to the Labour leader of one of these scrutiny groups, said, okay, it started off talking about dangerous dogs, and then it's just spiraled into a whole committee just about dealing with dog issues. And I said to him, what possible thing are you going to get that can implement from a council point of view? And it's just wasting officer time. It has no kind of purpose whatsoever, except being a talking shop for councillors to have a little chat about something they find interesting. So, and I actually said to him, look, it's not a priority for me, because all you're doing is having nice chats, usually with police officers or some other organisation that come in, but actually it's down to the police to sort it, and Preston has no kind of role in it. Sorry, Sam, I didn't interrupt you. You come on in, mate.
Yeah, it's okay. I just wanted to, because we've talked a lot about how important casework is, and then we've talked about almost how the town hall work sits with that. But what I wanted to talk about a little is just, there is town hall work, which is not administrative, is not sort of the bureaucracy stuff, and is not necessarily related to that, to casework, but is something where you can really make a difference. Now, I know not all councillors, like there are council groups across the country who just don't put forward policy motions to councils. Some places they just kind of go, do you know what, it doesn't get us enough traction, or it doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work for us, we're not putting forward. We always put forward policy motions to council. And some of those are stuff that won't get a lot of traction in your community and won't necessarily earn you a huge amount of votes, but I think they're really important. And so I think it's really kind of key. And I'm going to talk about a policy motion I wrote, because I want as many councils as possible to pass it. So there's an organisation called Our Streets Now. They do stuff on street harassment. They want street harassment to be made a specific crime, because it's not in the UK, and it becomes really difficult, like harassing girls in the street, mainly girls, but anyone who gets harassed in the streets. It's not a crime. And so police have a real difficulty prosecuting it. So that was where that organiser started out. And they started doing workshops in schools where they try and kind of talk to pupils. So they talk to boys about changing their behaviour and talk to girls about kind of being aware of how they can speak to people about this so that they know that they've got somewhere to go. So I wrote a motion which basically says all of the, you know, we should have, this should be a crime. This has to be worked on in schools in our area. And we should write to all the MPs saying, please change this, all of that. Now, that doesn't really relate to casework that I do, and it's not really hugely going to get me votes, but it really does speak to Liberal Democrat values and something I think is really important. So I think there are times when it is really important to do kind of the policy stuff, the stuff that isn't related to casework, because it reminds you of why you're a Liberal Democrat.
Yeah, there's just that stuff, isn't there? And we try and do this, you know, with our budget amendments. We do put through motions. They always get roundly voted down, but it's always nice just to see what will the Labour group vote against. I'd be interested to know if they'd vote against making on-street harassment a crime, probably. Because it just underpins, doesn't it, what your values are. And I think it is easy to get caught up in campaigning and bins and potholes and, you know, the stuff that wins you votes. And yeah, I agree, Sam. It's nice to just have that stuff. We try and put in quite a lot of climate change policy motions because that's certainly not a priority here. And it is a priority, actually, to some of my residents, but it's also, you know, core Liberal Democrat policy, and it just kind of underpins stuff, and then it gives you something to talk about on the doorstep. So when people say, well, what are your values, why are you a Liberal Democrat, you're not going to run the council, why should I vote for you, you've got those stories then, haven't you, of motions you've brought forward.
And when and the question that comes up when you're campaigning is, well, what have you done? You can say, well, X, Y, and Z, I've tried to introduce whatever. And sometimes, again, new councillors or people who are getting into it, you'll get oppositions that, even though they're not supposed to, they'll do wrecking amendments to it. I mean, basically, any Lib Dem motion, usually, and the Labour group here in Preston, we usually make some comment about austerity and the coalition or something like that and try and trash it. But again, it's the point is, I always say to my group, look, the fluff bit of it where it says, you know, council notes that such and such, and that's the bit where Labour tend to change stuff to say council notes that the Liberal Democrats were a disgrace in government, blah, 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 blah. But the actual resolutions at the bottom usually don't get tinkered with, and that's the only bit that counts. And they're the bits that, you know, will be for all of time in those council minutes to say, okay, the Lib Dems have put forward to open up democratic processes in planning or something like that. But also, we should just let people know that there are places you can go. If you're thinking, well, I can't think of any motions. I'm new at this. Well, I don't know what the council policy is. Can my council do it? I mean, a plug for the ALDC, who do things like, I think they do, I can't remember, a monthly policy motion that comes down. Also, the campaigns team. There's stuff going on at the moment about universal credit about to be reduced. They have figures for every area and press releases and stuff like that you can use. There are things there you can do to build. And just get on to Facebook, to some of the Lib Dem groups and say, I've got an issue with such and such. Has anyone else dealt with it? And I found most Lib Dems are incredibly useful in helping you direct towards where you want to go. Sam?
And well, the LGA as well. LGA send out policy motions on a regular basis. It's also interesting. So I've started doing some work with the human rights cluster at Parliament. So shout out to Wira Hobhouse, who's been really good at integrating people from outside Parliament into the work that they're doing. And there's a motion coming to conference on conversion therapy. And so this is, you know, again, something that won't really kind of get, certainly in my ward, I don't think we'll get a lot of traction. But off the back of what we were doing at a parliamentary level, I've then written a council motion on conversion therapy. Which is then going to go to, once we pass the kind of like national motion, that will go out to the LGA and ALDC to come through. It's not as difficult as I thought it was going to be to write motions. Mm. If you think there is something important, essentially you get four or five facts about why this is a terrible thing. Mm. And then think of a couple of things that the council could do. And it can be as simple as write to the MP and do it. So, you know, if you are a councillor and you kind of think, oh, there's this important thing, you know, set aside like an hour to do some research and you can probably bash out a motion And then you share it to the LGA and ALDC, and that gets shared out to everybody. And suddenly, you know, you've got councils across the country who, and so on the street harassment thing that I wrote, that was the first one I wrote from scratch. You know, Rochdale passed it a couple of months after. I think it's going to, Liverpool passed it. Preston have done it. Mm. And suddenly now I can turn around and kind of go, I've changed how, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of people's experience of what their council is doing, because there will be classes going on in schools in towns and cities across the country because of that motion that I wrote. That's an incredible thing as a councillor that you can do.
Yeah, and actually, you've really put, before we bring Hannah in, because we're all jumping in now, this is all because we've got going now, is actually what happened in last year's conference was the stuff all about the planning reforms. Now, God, planning can be a really heinous and horrendous thing to be as a councillor. It can proper bog you down on planning issues. But actually, that notice of motion that went to the last conference from the ALDC talking about the planning reforms that the Tories are still proposing to bring in was perfect. And I used that for the Lib Dem submission from the council, and used that also to both parishes that were going to be affected by it as well. So we looked like we were properly on the front foot on it. And before the last election, I was able to say to the Labour leader, well, I submitted a thing about this, did you? And of course he hadn't. And so actually there are 20 policy motions going to conference in a few weeks' time. Maybe something there, have a look at it. It's already been written up. It's going to become Lib Dem policy more likely, because there's nothing massively controversial in this conference. But think if there's anything there you could bring to your area. Hannah?
Yeah, I'm just going to get Sam to write me some policy motions, because it sounds like he's really on that. So I think the other thing just to note as well is that in terms of balancing your time, your ward work is much easier to control yourself, because with ward work, you're in control of your own diary. And, you know, as Lon says, very few people are full-time councillors, unless they're joyfully retired. And the problem with town hall work is, as a general rule, it's imposed on you. So Barnsley is very much a daytime council. So our full council meeting is at 10 o'clock on a Thursday. And as a general rule, morning meetings are at 10 o'clock, afternoon meetings are at 2 o'clock. And the afternoon meetings absolutely screw me, because they overlap school pickup time every single time. And previously, so my group up until this year was me, and I have other obligations, but not other sort of paid work, a couple of guys who are self-employed and a guy who's retired. So we were all pretty flexible with our diaries, to be honest. This time, the people we've got elected are three people with full-time jobs. And I'm seeing how difficult it is for them to manage their diaries when, you know, they have to take one Tuesday a month off to go to scrutiny, or they have to take one Wednesday a month off to go to planning. And your ward work is just so much easier to fit around your other paid work and your other, you know, responsibilities, caring responsibilities, other volunteering responsibilities, because you manage your own diary. Yeah. And that has a flip side, which is that you can end up a bit boundaryless and, you know, never actually stopping or kind of having a day off. That might just be me that I'm talking about. But I do think it is important, you know, pulling away from all of those imposed meeting dates, you know, does make you feel kind of much more in control of your own destiny. You know, because you do have to add up the number of hours you spend being a counsellor, and, you know, and make sure you're not working for 20p an hour.
And it's one of those things, politics, again, people, and it's why younger people burn out. Quite, you find a lot of people working. I mean, I've been 11 years on Preston City Council now. The amount of people working age who have done more than one term is really poor. But because you can always do more, that's the problem. It's a bit like I've got two awful things. I'm a freelance business owner, and I'm in politics, both of which you can never, ever stop, really, in terms of, and you can always do more. But I have forced myself to say, look, like this weekend, I'm really looking forward to it. Rugby's back, community rugby's back. I am switching off the phone and I'm going to go to the rugby and just have a bit of time for me and Becky, and to just have a drink and chill out. You've got to work in those times as well, because there's not, I mean, I got someone calling me. I get messages on Christmas Day. I get messages whenever. And you just have to say, look, I'm sorry, I'm not available right now. The Christmas Day one, I'll tell you what that was privately. I won't dare put it on a thing, but it was an absolute corker of a message I got. But and I think, Sam, I'd love to get you both your opinions on ways you can handle that better. Because, Sam, you talked about a system. I'm very, with my email system, it's really good for campaigners and councillors. I have an email system where everything is folded. I folder it by a street or by an issue. So if it's an issue such as like trees or something like that, that will go in there. Something like, or if it's an issue that just affects Cadley Causeway and my thing, I have a folder. So I can keep that in there. Not only is it mean you can always find stuff and you're not stressing about it later, but it also means, let's be brutally honest, sometimes councils don't do a great job of keeping on track of what you've asked them to do. And so this thing where I've just got this new crossing in my ward that I've been fighting for 8 years, twice the council lost that data that we had collected, but I had kept it. And if I hadn't have kept it in my little folder system, we'd be right back to square one. So that's the thing I do. And it saves me a lot of stress knowing I can go back and see what Joe Blogg said about such issue back in the day.
Yeah.
Sam.
Oh, sorry. Well, just because in terms of, so I use a system, I use a paid system. It costs me £6 a month. It's called eCasework, and it has been an absolute godsend, because when I started, I didn't have a clue. I really didn't have a clue how to keep track, and I got really overwhelmed, as John was talking about. Now, I'm also same as John. I work freelance, and I did a training session once with a guy who is now, he's phenomenally successful. He teaches comedy all around the world to huge businesses. He came to a workshop for a load of us. So one of my other jobs is teaching comedy. There you go. I get laughed at on stage, which really helped when it came to doing politics. And he said to us all, how much do you charge for doing this? And we all kind of like, we were all like, well, we just enjoy doing it. So we don't, you know, charge as little as we can and so on. And he just said, if you can't survive doing this, then you're no good to anybody, least of all yourself. Mm. And it's the same thing when it comes to doing this. You will be more effective for your residents if you are not doing too much. And you will be able to do more for your residents for longer. So as tempting as it is, and I do it at times, most of the time, try and find ways to stop yourself doing it. I have never had a problem with a resident where I've just sent an email back going, thanks very much. I'm not able to do it right now. I will contact the person as soon as I'm able to, and then I'll let you know what's happening. And the response is always, that's brilliant. Thanks very much. Yeah. It's never, why aren't you doing it straight away? So you can manage that, and people generally respect that. So I just think that's a really important thing. I did have another point, but I got distracted myself. So that's what you get there.
We'll bring in Hannah, then maybe you'll come back and we'll find out.
Oh, I'm horribly disorganized. I'm in no position to give advice to anyone on anything regarding being unorganized. Don't go on too many committees. That's my only advice. They're trying to waste your time. But yeah, no, I like everyone, I think, struggle with managing casework. I get contacted across such a range of different channels. So not just via my council email, but by my personal email. Oh, we've lost Sam. And people message me on Facebook, people tag me on stuff in Facebook, people message me, WhatsApp me, call me. Someone had a first this week. I was trying to get out of the difficult junction at the bottom of my street, and someone pulled up next to me and wound down their window to give me a piece of casework.
Yeah,
I was like, right, yeah, people have no boundaries. You know, I get casework at Tesco, I get casework if I go out for a drink, I get casework if I go out for dinner. I went to our town gala, I got casework there. People have absolutely no boundaries, and I am not organized enough to really keep a good track on all of that. So when people message me and go, oh, Hannah, did you do that thing? I'm like, no, I forgot because you told me in Tesco when I had two kids with me. I'm really sorry. So I'm rubbish and in no position. Just don't take on too much stuff. Don't go on committees. Committees are boring.
Yeah. And also don't get sometimes everyone will know it. And this is not some great secret. There are certain residents in your patch who you know are unique. I think it is a diplomatic way of saying it. And this one resident we've got contacts me fairly regularly with a whole load of issues that actually have nothing to do with council at all. And actually they just want to talk about them. That's what they're doing. And it's very easy. Just you've got to manage it because I could spend all week with that particular resident. Yeah.
Do you know, I don't mind the residents who just want to talk. I've got a couple who, you know, I choose whether to pick the phone up to them or I send them a few messages. And yeah, they just want to chat. They just want a friend, really. And actually, I'm all right with that. That's, you know, I feel like that's, you know, providing a bit of a role in terms of, you know, supporting social isolation. Because they don't expect anything else from me. You know, they don't then finish it off. They do sometimes ask them. They don't really mean it. They just feel like they need to give an excuse for ringing. More than happy to chat with someone for half an hour. What I find difficult is the kind of persistent, unsolvable casework. Yeah. So there's pigeons pooing all over the high street. Well,
yeah. No. There's leaves that blow into my back garden. What can you do about it? And their solution is, could you please chop down all trees? No, really sorry. That's not going to happen.
When it buckets it down with rain, you know, I can literally count down on my fingers until someone rings me to say the drain outside my house is overflowing. And you're just like, we've just had 3 months of rain in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I'm always happy to chat to someone who's lonely and I've got a couple of residents who need that. And, you know, they struggle. It's a stupid little thing. And they struggle with the fact that the council doesn't send out printed bin calendars anymore because they just don't have access to a computer and a printer for various reasons. And, you know, so every new year I pop them a bin calendar in an envelope and send it to them. That stuff, I don't mind that.
Yeah, I just want to point out, I'm not some heartless kind of guy that doesn't want to just want to talk to it. I feel like I'm being portrayed as the bad guy here. But, I mean, it's just those people who have persistently the same issue without any sort of resolution. And it's not a loneliness thing. They just like to nag is kind of where they're at. Sam?
I remembered what I was, because I started talking about the casework system I use. And the reason why, one of the reasons why it's really good is I can send an email. And so it's list out by case by case. If I send an email to an officer, I just tag in the subject the reference for the case and it automatically files it and it adds any kind of like documents that are attached into it, has it in sequential order. So I literally have a list of every case that I'm working on with every email, or I can add notes or I can add my own documents, just adds on to the bottom of the thing. So at any point, I've got a reference of everything on that case and it sends me reminders. So if I need to chase something, I just set a date and it pops up with an email saying, send this email to such and such to follow it up.
Is it really organized, Sam, or is it just a really good system?
It's a combination of the two, and it is finding something that suits you. So you have to, like, I keep a list of all the tags because they're like GX5XY. So you wouldn't know it off the top of your head, but as long as you just keep a file on your screen where you've got all of them, and I just drop them in. So it takes a bit of work on my side, but it takes a lot less work than I would have had to, you know, do to keep track of it without that. So it's worth it. And once I trained myself into just working in that way, it's been fantastic. And there's other systems out there. You know, that's the one I use. There's about four kind of paid for systems that you can use for casework. I think there's one that's designed for parliamentarians, a couple that are for everyone. But I know other people, like my group leader, he just has an Excel sheet. And you know, that's it. He just has a line going across and he just jots in a note of, I've just done something. And he can keep track of that way. It's finding a way that works for you. Yeah, I think that's a really important
thing. And you'll find, as you're out and about, so if you're fairly active doing your ward work, you should be walking around and go, actually, whatever happened to that sign? It hasn't been replaced. Let's go chase that up. Things like, you know, I don't want people to listen to Sam going, oh my days, that seems like a lot of work. because that's what I was thinking. But, you know, the way you cope for it does have to be bespoke to you. If you're not particularly, if that sounds like too much for you, then don't do it. Make a system that works for you. But I do want to raise one thing that has come up more in recent years is not just online people messaging you saying, John, I've got an issue down my road on like Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or whatever, but actually community groups on Facebook as well. Now, I could spend all day, every day going through the various We Are Forward, Cotton Community, whatever, and there's a million different issues on there of which I could try and spend all, but it'd be too much. You'd be overloaded. And some of them, this is not in the official rule book, but sometimes residents don't know what they're talking about. You know, they will absolutely knight you saying, why has the council done this? And actually it's a government issue, you know, whether or it's something completely nothing to do with the public sector at all. And again, one of the things I first say to any person who's getting into campaign is you will not know everything in this job you're doing. There'll be an issue and might have been a councillor for 20, 30 years and think, oh, that's never came up before. And it is okay to say, I don't know, I'll get back to you.
But I think actually, John, I think you make a good point there, which is also you don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking back, you know, to some of these all member information briefings and some of these scrutiny meetings and things, you know, the officers don't know everything about everything. You know, they have their thing that they're the specialists in, which means that you don't have to. And it's really easy to get bogged down in thinking you need to know. You don't have to. That's what the officers are for. You know, you don't need to understand every single word of that local plan or every single word of that scrutiny report or every single word of those child protection statistics. You know, the information's all there and you can easily get really bogged down in it, but you don't need to, you know. Stick with what interests you, and that's what the officer teams are there for. You know, if someone asks you something, they're not going to say, well, actually, Councillor Kitching, I think you'll recall that was covered in the briefing we did back in March. You should know that.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, you know.
And I've got a perfect example, actually, because Preston City Council has just spent quite a lot of money for the next stage of a development inside the city centre. Now, the broad brush strokes, everyone knows, okay, it's going to be a new cinema, it's going to be a new bowling alley, it's going to be seven or so restaurants, all involved. It's going to take this amount of money, it's going to be this year. Now, if you're asking all councillors to understand the ins and outs of that kind of prudential borrowing and how it's going to affect each year for the next 25 years, they are not going to know that. In fact, the officers get specialist outside consultancy to be able to do that work. There's no way I could do it. You need to have a grasp of kind of the broad strokes, what you're voting for. But the idea that you are going to know every single bit of market conditions for the bowling alley sector over the next 25 years, you are not going to be that expert. I'm sorry. And it is. And if you try to, your head will explode.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to cope.
Yeah. No one's that smart. No one's that smart.
Well, maybe Sam. But
right. my favorite phrase for people, though, is that's really important. This is the person who's responsible for it.
Yeah, and it's things like, we're doing about the Afghan refugee crisis stuff and the resettlement and lots of councils being asked to provide them. I am not going to know the ins and outs of the exact line of the government resettlement scheme. I just went to officers, because that's their job. I said, okay, Lancashire's taking in maybe around 60 to 80 families. And I said, okay, that's how many we're taking in. What do you need to take in more? Or is there a limit to it? And then they explain. And that's kind of where I get to with that. What can we do more? If we can't, why? And then that's kind of the point we're at. But yeah, go on, Sam.
There's a part of our job, which is we are, if you're a business person, if you're from business background, I think this makes sense. You're like a non-executive director for the council. You know, it's not your job to do the work. It's your job to just look at it and go, did that make sense? Have I asked the right questions?
Yeah.
Not to know everything. And I think that is your role.
I see us as as signposts and also as kind of like catalysts and facilitators. And, you know, it's not right that if someone, you know, someone will say, oh, I've messaged the council a million times about this street light that's broken or this issue that I'm struggling with. And it's not right that it should happen quicker and smoother if it comes through me, but it does. That's the way the system works. And if someone is banging their head, it either doesn't know where to start with who to contact or is banging their head against a brick wall trying to get a problem resolved, then I can be that person that smooths the way and creates a channel to get that issue resolved. And I might not know anything more about that issue at the end than when I started, but if it's been resolved, it doesn't matter. That's how I see our job. And Sam's absolutely right. It's not our job to do the work. And I think sometimes we do, you know, we've got a couple of big campaigning issues where I think we've lost a lot of trust with the council officers in terms of what's being said to us. This is mainly planning stuff, highway stuff. We've lost a lot of trust between us and the officers about what's being said and what we're being told. And it's kind of left us to do our own research. And my town hall specialist councillor is on that with his, he's actually an ex-officer himself. I think that's what, he's a poacher turned gamekeeper. I think that's why he's so good at it. And he, you know, he absolutely baffles officers when he turns up and he knows more about the matter than they do. But that's not actually right. That's not a reflection on how good he is as a councillor. That's a reflection on how bad that department are as officers. You know, you should never have a situation where the councillor is blindsiding you with, you know.
I will say, just to kind of slightly contradict you, first of all, things are a lot more difficult with your signposting. If you're in a two-tier authority, residents get a lot more confused. I mean, so, you know, trying to explain to the difference between Lancashire County Council and Preston City Council, knowing which responsibility, and sometimes the lines are so blurred. I mean, for me, I would get rid of Preston City Council and have a unitary council for Central Lancs, but that's another argument for another day. But one thing I will say, Hannah, about what you just said is sometimes our role is because we are so in depth in that thing. So when I'm going to talk about this crossing that I talked about, nobody knew more about that issue than me because officers had left, etc. I might not know the price of, you know, why the pedestrian crossing is 44 grand. I don't know that breakdown. I'm not a civil engineer, but I do know that area better than probably any of those officers. And I do know the issue better than any of those officers. So that's where the scrutiny and democratic work comes in, is to make sure, because if they had suggested something wrong, like if they'd put the crossing not next to the children's playground, I would have said, clearly that's stupid. Put it next to the children's playground. But, and I suppose that's the kind of role where your ward work and council work does actually mix together, because you are, I don't want to say the local champion, but that's kind of what you, that's what we're trying to be. And that's what lots of Lib Dems want to be.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, you might not know the stuff and the technical stuff, yeah, but you know your patch.
Yeah.
You should know your patch. Yeah, no, you're bang on right with that, John.
Right, lovely. Any other tips you want to give people on this, on balancing ward work and city hall work? I think basically I think our summary from all this is kind of like, don't feel like you have to do more than what you can cope with, because it won't work. And I think that, and if you're struggling, say something. Because I said to people in my group, in some councils, I just said, look, planning's every month, it's a huge meeting, I'm working full time, I'm really struggling with it. I said, well, why didn't you tell me that 6 months ago when you started struggling? Say, let it get on top of you. It's okay to say, look, I need some help with this, I think is the key. But final thoughts from you, Sam.
I think it's about knowing yourself and what kind of a counsellor you are. Like, you know, there's different types of work will suit different types of people, as Hannah talked about with a kind of like policy guru person. Like, know what you're interested in and what you find easy to do, and then try and find people who can balance that out. You know, you're never going to be good at everything, so you shouldn't try to be. You should try and find the things that work for you and the balance that works for you, and then try and find somebody else to mirror that in the opposite way, sort of thing.
And if you're in a tiny group, you're not going to be on every single committee anyway. So like on Lancashire, there's only me and David, and we're down to a group of two of us, unfortunately. And so I'm only on one committee other than full council. If I wanted to, I mean, as I said before, I loved the education committee when I was on it. I'm now not on that. So I'm not poring over every single report. When they come to cabinet, I'll check them out. But I am not doing the in-depth stuff for a committee I'm not on. So again, when you're in a smaller group, see what you can handle. And final thoughts from Hannah.
Yeah, just don't go on too many committees. Don't go on too many committees. That's just my advice. Because the thing is that, you know, Labour try and make a thing out of our attendance records. I mean, you know, people in glass houses and all that, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, I do have some members who worry about their attendance records. If you agree to go on a committee and then you never turn up, that affects your attendance record. If you don't agree to go on that committee, then your attendance record remains unblemished. And also, residents won't care what your town hall attendance record is if they see you in the community all of the time.
Yep.
So if, you know, if Labour are trying to make hay out of, oh, you know, they've not been to full council, you know, they weren't at full council, they don't bother going to planning committee. I actually, when I first was on the council, I was on my own and they tried to put me onto planning. And I refused. I said, I'm not going on planning. Because I wanted to be able to have a very vocal opinion on developments in my ward. And there's no point doing that on planning because you just predetermine yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have to spend hours on planning and you don't even get a vote and it's pointless. So I refused point blank to go on that. And I went on licensing instead, which I find unchallenging and quite pleasing. And it does move the boat as well. And Labour tried really hard to make endless hay about the fact that I'd refused to sit on planning committee. And people were just like, Hannah campaigns endlessly for us on all these. She's worked with us on this development. She's sent a street letter around asking us for comments on this. She always lets us know about planning issues. What more would she achieve being on planning committee? And it didn't stick because I was doing the work that my community wanted me to do on planning. They didn't care that I wasn't. And they sort of said, oh, but, you know, Labour told me that, you know, if you were on committee, you'd have a vote. And I'm like, yeah, but there's 30 of them on planning committee. There's one of me.
You haven't even got a seconder to get a motion in, have you?
So, you know, and they were like, oh, no, right. And I was like, and actually, you know, if I'd said that I was against this development, they wouldn't then let me vote because I'd be predetermined. So I think I'm better out here working with you. Like, yes, Hannah, you're absolutely right. So, yeah, just don't overcommit. Don't let them try and intimidate you by trying to make political capital out of it. If you are out there and visible in your ward, your residents will not care that you're not sat in the town hall.
And we've mentioned this a couple of times over the years. There's two things that... Forget it, the political bubble is not real life. And that goes for town halls as well. You know, stuff that happens in town. And you can see that with the behaviour of some of the prat councillors that you get in community. They wouldn't act like that outside of town because they know it's their own little bubble. No one really gives a hoot if ex-Labour guy acts like a complete idiot because no one's really paying attention to what they say anyway. So ignore the bubble. But and also, what Hannah just said is perfect. I mean, I've always had this philosophy of saying, you know, I am my ward's representative at council, not the council representative on my ward. And I think that's the way I get around it. But like I say, would love to hear your thoughts, people who are watching and listening. Just what do you think? Do you think, are you thinking about becoming a councillor, worried about the time? Has this helped? Has it not? You know, or how do you balance? Because some people will absolutely love the policy, will love the nitty gritty, will love going into the numbers. And that's fine. But how do you then balance your ward work? Would love to hear from you. And like I said before, give us a like so more people can see this episode. We have to thank Sam and Hannah once again. They seem to be a double act now, Sam and Hannah. When we get one, we get both. I don't know if it's a buy one, get one free, but you can catch Hannah on Twitter at HannahK_LD, and you can catch Sam at Sam Lib Dem. They've got two good handles there. Dead easy for you. You can catch myself at John Potter LD, and you can catch everything to do with the pod at Lib Dem Pod. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you again to our Patreon subscribers who do give us a little bit of money every month so we can keep this podcast going. We can keep on getting great guests. And coming up, we have some really good stuff coming up with the leaders of the LGA. We have Leila Moran coming on, which is the timing of that with everything that's going on with Afghanistan. So if you've got questions for that, do let us know. And we should just point out, we have received some really lovely comments about the podcast from listeners who are in small groups, who say, you know, the podcast helps them. We do read them all. We do share them in the group, and it really does cheer us up and makes our day. So thank you so much for everyone that comments and lets us know. We really do appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll have another episode very soon. Bye.